This Sunday. Every Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! But mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
A fish with doing the swim. We're here on Motormouth Radio with the Scott and Chris show. Oh, I'm sorry, that was the other show that Rob was talking about with your hosts, not Scott and Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, and we're here to entertain all of your automotive madness and concerns today. How are you, Chris?
Doing well, Ray.
Are you doing the swim?
I am. Yeah, I'm up to my lower lip in something I need to swim out of.
In brine, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're back again. That week went quick.
Yeah. You know what? You're absolutely right. The week did go incredibly rapidly. I'm amazed. I didn't even look at a car this week, let alone work on one.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I don't think I got into my vehicle in at least 5 days.
Really? Wow.
And the funny thing is, every night I go out there to check if the doors are locked. You ever do that? We come from an area where you have to lock your doors every evening. I mean, it's just, that's where I grew up. That's where I came from. You lock your doors.
Yeah.
And I had to laugh because I think 3 times out of the 5, I went out there into the driveway and checked the doors were locked. And I'm like, stupid, you didn't even use the car today.
Well, you see, now if you're talking about your older car, yeah, but now with the modern cars, you can take the key fob and just go boop boop, like push it, it'll go through the wall.
Yes.
And that's how the real smart thieves are stealing cars.
They're recreating, right? They're recreating the signal.
They're cloning it, and the way they do that is they know the best thieves are, you know, people who
listen to the show.
Yeah, well, some of them are. Yeah, that's for darn sure is right. No, I mean, the way you know something the best is if you do it yourself, right?
Right.
So thieves know that people come in the house, and typically there's actually a name for this, because I saw that Paris Hilton has one on her registry for her upcoming wedding. And what it is, it's a little dish. So she gave the name, it was like $795. And they said, what is that? And they said, well, that's where that little dish you have when you come in, you put your keys and your watch, what all your stuff right. in there. I mean, everybody's got a place they put stuff, you know, when you come in.
Right.
So the thieves know the people typically come in the house and have either, there's either a table or a ledge, and that's where they put their car keys and whatnot. So what they do is they have the cloning device. And they'll come up to your house at night or sometime where they won't be detected. And they'll just go on the outside of the house. They'll be searching, you know, through the wall with an RF frequency for your key fob, which is awake and alive all the time.
Right.
And they know they'll go by the front door first, because that's where most people leave their keys. And then, they'll find that signal, you know, suck it into the machine, and then they'll be able to clone and make their own key. So next time they come to your house, they have a key that's the same as yours. They put it in a car, and off they go.
Right, because they've just replicated your frequency from your key fob, which the car doesn't know.
Right.
All it knows is it knows a frequency, and it reacts accordingly. So if you can mimic that frequency, yeah, you can unlock the doors and get in the car and hit the key and start it up and drive away. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and, you know, the car, like I said, the car doesn't know any better, and now you come out like, where's my car? Like, no one took my keys, and it's interesting because... You know, one of the things I remember years ago, there was a rash of car thefts in the malls around here on Long Island.
Sure.
A couple of them more than others. And they, I guess I read the story somewhere. But the police, of course, you know, someone calls up and says, hey, my car was stolen. I came out from shopping. The car is gone. And they would ask, ask a few questions. And if they had thought something was fishy and, you know, kind of get the wrong read off you, they would ask, oh, listen, well, you know, do you have your car keys? Can I see your keys? And person didn't have their keys. You know, like, well, okay. So your car was stolen, but you don't have your keys. I don't know where they went. I lost my keys, too. No, they gave the keys to somebody else and said, take the car, you know, and then that was the whole scam. So you got to be careful. You got to think the next step.
And make a duplicate key.
in this case, you would have the key, but not the car. So, and the newer cars, you know, are a lot, you know, you're not doing what they do on the 70s TV shows. You're not reaching under the dash blindly and pulling out a clump of wires and like stripping two of the back and going click, 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 click. Oh,
right.
The car
as soon as
starts.
They start sparking, yeah.
Right. You're not doing that.
Oh, I loved those shows.
Yeah. Well, that was so typical. It was
very MacGyver-esque. Yeah. Instead, the guy took the Camaro.
Yeah. And you know, our good friend Al, Jeep and Al, says he's got a Faraday key fob bag that blocks the RF signal. That's pretty cool. That's actually another step above.
Very smart, yeah.
I know that I have a little bag. What did I get it for? I think I got it for one of my gun permit. But you can put a credit card in this thing, and it can't get read, because credit cards can be read too with a chip. The same thing, that chip technology can be read by a scanner. So you put it. Mm-hmm. It's like the bag you put your Easy Pass in.
Right.
Same idea.
Exactly. Yeah. Any if you have electronical components shipped to you, a lot of times they're shipped in those bags.
Yeah.
And that's what it does. It keeps RF, keeps radio frequencies out of the bag.
Well, remember, there was a few years ago about a person who sent in their Easy Pass to be, they were turning it in for whatever reason. I just sent one, and they sent me, you know, a new one. And they subsequently got a bill for like hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars of toll. And they found out the pass wasn't in a bag. It was live. And every toll thing that it went through with any truck, train, bus, airplane that it was on, it racked up. It probably had paid for some McDonald's meals too, because you can do that when you're Easy Pass in New York. And the guy was like, what's with this bill? Oh yeah, you didn't put it in a bag. How do you like that?
Yeah. But that's what those bags are called. They're called Faraday bags.
Right. Okay.
Right. Yeah. There's also like safes for hard drives and things like that to keep, or not hard drives. I'm sorry, for cell phones.
Right.
Because you can lock or unlock a cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
With an RF signal.
Right.
And sometimes if cell phones are involved in any sort of criminal activity and the police confiscate them, a Faraday bag won't work. They have to put them in like these safes.
There you go.
These Faraday safes. So yeah, but that's really a smart idea. And also keep the key fob away from the door. I mean, if you simply put it in the middle of the house, you can alleviate most of that.
Yes.
Most of those problems.
That was the takeaway. Don't leave your keys by the door where they'd be obvious. Put them somewhere else in the house and whatever. And you know, for some people, let's face it, we're all creatures of habit. If you had to change a habit like that, it would be kind of hard to do, because your habit is you come in, you put the keys down. You know, it would be a hard thing to do. But
no, it's true. You're absolutely right. We are people who listen to the show are certainly creatures of habit. That's for sure.
Well, they're certainly creatures. Yeah, we know. So, and those creatures, how can those creatures get in touch with us?
Oh, totally. They can use that thing called a phone, and that's something else to do with their finger. Just call us, 516-572-7440. It's a phone number. And that gets hold of us.
And how can they find us during the week when we're not on the air?
All kinds of electronical technology, wizardry, gizmos, you know, all kinds of...
How about social media?
That too.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, the real underscore and the underscore dash real.
Well, let's do it the right way.
And the ham and cheese.
So let's do it the correct way. We can, on the web and on Twitter and on Facebook, you can find us at Motormouth Radio. And on Instagram, that's the outlier. It's real _ Motormouth Radio.
Joe's favorite.
Joe's favorite is right. And that's how you can find us. So,
but you can call us now. Now. 516-527-2740.
Yeah. Let me put this out there. Don't wait until it's like 12:56 or 12:57. People do that all the time. And we can't take, you know, sometimes we can't take the call because we have to get off the air a few minutes for, you know, to let Kim in can do her show. So.
Right.
You know, do it when you got meat. There's meat here. There's plenty of time to spread it around, and we'll
do it when we have meat.
Exactly.
I like that.
It's going to be a T-shirt. Don't worry.
It just says so much. Do it when we have meat.
Right.
So right now we got a ton of meat in front of us.
Yeah.
And we got to dig through it till we get to the end of the show.
Exactly.
516-572-7440. I mean, I've done it too. You go, oh, motor mouth radio's on. And then you turn it on. It's like 11. It's like 12:57. Well, you're like, God, let me call.
I'll tell you this. And so people, you know, we're coming up on our 20th anniversary of this show. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is approaching fast. But when, you know, I was a listener before I was on the show, and
I'm sorry to hear that.
And I can.
So was I.
I clearly remember the first time. The thing that got me to call was a conversation between you, Mikey T, and the Bronc about motorcycle clothing. And stuff like that. And again, it was at the end of the show. I think Bronc had brought somebody's son in who was, you know, going to buy a motorcycle, and he figured, good, him and Mikey T would, you know, put this kid between them because that's the way the studio was set up, and they would, like, you know, bang this kid and really give him some tough love about being safe on a motorcycle.
Right.
I don't know. But
that was the whole idea, I think.
It was. But what they did is they riled up me. They riled up me because they were talking about clothing. And, of course, Bronc and Mike, like myself, you know, we all come from the same kind of generation of motorcyclists.
Sure.
And they were talking about the old school way of doing things. And I had already been I had gotten involved with the new school way of doing things where clothing and stuff is concerned. So
they were talking about old school in what way? I don't remember.
Leather. They were all talking about, you know, leather jackets, leather chaps, all the leather stuff, which we all wore. I still have at home. But now, sure. You know, what happened like 25 years ago is this whole new line of nylon and ballistic. I just got another jacket yesterday, in fact, a good friend gave
it. It's breathable. It's comfortable. It's breathable, well, right?
And there's padding in it. Yeah, and you don't have to break it in. You can immediately, the jacket feels like you've had it for 20 years when you wear it. But it's made out of, you know, nylon and different fabrics, not leather.
Which is important, yeah, sure.
And they, you know, the points they were making were all correct. But again, from having the other perspective, I would say, no, there's so much more. And I called in, but it was like the end of the show. It was, you know.
Well, we picked it up. Did we pick it up?
You did pick it up. And, you know,
right.
Let me make my point and then said, you know what? This is great conversation. We want to talk more about this, but we got to go because we're done with the show. You said, can you call back next week? And
I said that?
Yeah, you did.
Wow.
You did.
Wow. I had foresight then. Holy smokes.
You did. Yeah. And I did. I called back the next week and then we picked up the topic and follow on with it. And, so I'll admit I did the same thing, but only because I was like, it was like a call to action. It was like it's like, all right, that's it. I'm picking up the phone now. Like, these guys are nuts. That's what it takes sometimes to call a radio show. And I know a lot of people. I was at a street fair yesterday. One of my daughters was vending, and we stopped in to see how she was doing. And I'm not going to give the names right now because I'll see if the promise comes true. But I ran into two of our old friends of the show who were there. And in fact, that was why we met there, because this one person gave me this motorcycle jacket. He sold his motorcycle. And his wife had a question. She was, I got a motor mouth question. I'm like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah. Yep.
That happens all the time. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. I said, well, let's see. And she posed her question, which was, I said, wow, that's a great question. Like, I have no idea what the answer is.
Oh, well, that's true in Motor Mouth Radio 4.
Yeah, because I need somebody on, like, an engineering level at the car dealerships to tell me, you know, why they would have done that. So she says, I'll call tomorrow, and I'll ask. And I said, okay, you know the number. So we'll see. And if she doesn't call, I'll tell you later who it was, and we'll.
Okay. All right. All right. I will make the prediction right now. No call.
Okay.
I'm making the prediction right now. What is it? 50 minutes into this program? No call.
All right.
Why? Because what have we always learned in the 20 odd years we've been doing this program? Anyone who threatens to call the show doesn't.
All right. So you've heard it. There's the gauntlet thrown.
I have had crowds of people stare at me and point their fingers and say, we're going to call the program. And the next week I'd sit there and cringe and wait for this onslaught of phone calls and just the light just burning out because of all of the calls that are coming in and switchboards melting. And what do we get? Beepada.
Well, yeah, those are your friends. It's, you know, nobody wants to talk to you again. It's like, yeah, let me just say this and get him to get the hell out of here and leave me alone.
So it's kind of funny because with one phone call, Ray, you worked your way up from last minute caller all the way to host of the program.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, in 20 short years.
Right, so you two could be a potential host of the program right now.
Right. Well, I tell you what, let's go to the phones. Let's go to the phones and go to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Well, see, this just goes to show you better watch what you wish for because somebody just might call in.
I know. That's the, you know, Skip, we've been living with that for 20 years on this show, and it never ceases to come true. So, anyway, so what's going on? And great. You see, you took our advice and you called early. This is great. Now we can
talk. That's why I figured I'd jump on that and show you that some people do listen and some people do act. Whether they do that together or at the same time remains to be seen, but, right. You know, it sometimes comes together. I just figured I'd give you a quick update. I know I've sent you some emails and pictures and so forth, but...
yeah, but what about the pictures of the cars?
To that hydro-dipping.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's not more popular. I truly don't. I think the product is phenomenal. I love the finished product with the clear coat on it and all. And it's funny because just recently I saw something on Facebook, and it was with some car shows. And I actually saw, oh, no, I'll take that back. It was on the auction. I get my thoughts confused sometimes. It was on the auction over the weekend, and there was a 59 El Camino. And I've never seen it before, but the front and rear bumper looked carbon fiber, and I'm sure they were hydro-dipped, because I don't think they were carbon fiber bumpers.
No.
But it's the first time I've seen it in such a big expanse on a bumper on a car.
Okay.
But I said, you know, I don't see why it hasn't been used more often, or if it has, I just haven't noticed it. I don't know.
Now, when we talk about hydro-dipping, we're talking about literally taking a piece of metal, a bumper, or in this case a bumper, or some sort of part, and dipping it into a vat of paint or color, whatever it may be, and pulling it out nice and slowly, and it creates the design that's in the paint, creates it around the car part, correct? Right, that's what we're talking
about.
Well,
partially. Okay. What you have is it's a tank, and it's heated to 93 to 94 degrees, mm-hmm. and it's got water in the tank, and what you do is you lay the film on top of the water.
Ah, okay.
An actuator is then sprayed over the top of the film. So it's actually literally on top of the water. As you dip the part in, you go down, face down, roll it around, and pull it out face up. As that comes out, it now has that pattern, whatever it was, impregnated on that part that you dipped. It has to air dry, it dries for a while, and then it gets a clear coat. It may need a little buff or this or that, but I mean, they come out looking like glass. They're unbelievable.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
You know what I wonder? I wonder about this. If you were to say, dip your part down, turn it around, and instead of coming straight up, if you came up and it went on an angle, would the pattern change? Like, you know, like if you took a computer graphic and dragged it?
Yes, and a lot of other things come into this. It depends on the shape of the part. The original video I saw, they did a big Corvette center console. Mm. And the guy was saying how he had to go in and come on an angle and come back up on an angle because where the curves were, it could distort and whatever. And I know this to be true because when the guy was doing my stuff, when he was doing the dash insert for the gauges, it's contoured on the sides, the front is flat, of course, then it's rounded on the sides, but then down by where the steering column is, there's a couple compound curves and so forth. So the first time he did it, he actually had, for lack of a better term, like a blurring on the sides where it didn't, the pattern wasn't correct. It started to like drip or fade to the side. So we had to get the right angle and the right feel for it. I guess it's a process of doing it for a while where, you know, different angles and configurations, you get to know better how to do it after having done it for so many times.
Maybe
it can be a very tricky process from what I've seen.
And again, maybe that's part of why it isn't as popular, because maybe guys have trouble mastering it and say, hey, you know what, I'm wasting product here in tests. And unless they master it quick enough, they're thinking about the their return on their investment and saying, hey, you know what?
Well, you know, that's definitely true, Ray, because as a matter of fact, when he first did the new film I got, now that's another thing. There's different types of film, different company. The first company I used, I got two different types of film from, and he dipped them, and it was 1, 2, 3, no issues whatsoever. But we didn't like the color combination or the way they came out. It wasn't for my application. The next one I got was from a different company, and this company prides itself on being a leader in the industry. They do very high-end stuff. They say they have the most paint-impregnated film, and it resists UV lighting and so on and so forth. But with that being said, when he went to dip that film, that's where he had the problem. He had to learn how to use that because I guess there was more actual ink or whatever in the film that reacted differently than the first one did. So it's a matter of touch. I mean, flat pieces come out real easy, no problem. It's the finesses when you get something that's got a contour or a curve or a compound angle or something to it.
Yeah, no, I can see that, because I know, case in point, our buddy Mike down at the shop, he wanted to get into plastic chroming a number of years ago now, and actually bought a machine from a guy that guy had used and didn't need anymore. So he got that with all the accessories, and he was doing parts for my car, because in the 60s and 70s, a lot of those parts are plastic. And now on newer cars, there's a lot of plastic chrome. He got, you know, the primer level down perfect. You put the plastic chrome on, it came out beautiful. Every time he went and did the clear coat, it turned yellow or like a goldish color. I have some of those at home, and he says, you know what? All right, so let's try plan B. And then it was like, well, maybe the material that I have from this guy is old. Let me buy all new material. All right, does that. Nope, same result. So he contacted the company who made the machine. He went to Florida and went to a training seminar with the company that made the thing and did everything there fine, you know, and got back and still didn't have the right results. The machine got pushed to the side, and then it got sold. And he says, you know what? I'm not throwing any more money at this thing.
Now, I wonder if it was in the actual chemicals or whatever, but you said he bought new stuff.
Yeah, changed everything.
Result.
Yeah, so we're never going to know. I mean, it could be a fault with the machine. Who knows? Like I said, he cut his losses and said, okay, I gave this as much time and energy and money as I'm willing, so let somebody else do it.
I remember a while ago you had sent me a video on something with the liquid chrome process.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if this was what you were speaking of, but I know after that I had even found the chrome in the rattle cans.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny because I had it in the garage, and it sat there for the longest time, and my buddy Tom was over, and we're talking, and he sees it, and I says, oh, look, I got some old messed up chrome parts here. Let's spray it and see how it looks. So I sprayed it on, and he says, yeah, galvanized fence.
Yeah, yeah.
So I says, well, I guess that's not exactly chrome in the can then, is it?
No.
You know, so it's all perceived.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
They sell and what they think it is.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, it's like bright silver paint, basically.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. That's pretty much what it wound up to be.
So, yeah, your mileage may vary. You have to try this stuff out and see. But, yeah, if you know, on that end, if you think you're going to get something in a spray can that's going to give you chrome, that's being a little anxious, a little, what's the word?
That's a tall order.
Optimistic, yeah. But on a process like this with either hydro dip or plastic chrome, that's now a controlled process, and you do get really good results if everything works right. But,
Yeah, and like I said, I can't wait to actually see it in the car when it's finished and everything. We just had the gauges put in and whatnot, but once it's back installed in the dash with the purple-black dash and all, I'm hoping to get a whole different look in the dash of the car. So
let me ask you this: did you, with the lighting on those gauges, are you going with the incandescent bulbs, or did you go to LEDs?
You know, it's funny you should ask that, because originally with those gauges, if you remember, I have the white-faced gauges because they're easy for me to see. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, what I did was I put those little rubber booties on them to change the color.
Yeah, yeah.
So that they would be red.
Okay.
I figured red lighting on the dash would be easier to see altogether.
Uh-huh.
I lost the gauges. I literally couldn't see the numbers on the gauges with the red lights at night.
Right, right.
So that was one of the first things we did, was take all of that off. But in the process, we went with the LED bulbs also. And my directionals, I have two little small LEDs, one on each side, that I use for the directional bulbs also. I even changed the ones now in my the backup lights. We just put backup lights on the car. And I have the LED lights for that. I have the LED license plate light. I don't have LED headlights or markers yet, but that'll be the next step probably down the road. The interior lights, too. I did the B-pillar lights in the Nomad. I have the LED lights for that, too. And what a world of difference. Well, it's unbelievable.
The reason I bring it up is I put LEDs in my car, but you go to look for LED bulbs, and you'll find a gajillion. You don't know what to buy. So, again, I didn't know what to buy, so I took a chance on something. And the wattage is not, just like the house, it's not the same at comparable as an incandescent bulb. It's a lot less.
Yep.
You get more output, you know. But anyway, I bought a set of bulbs. I put them in the car, and I was like, oh, no, this isn't really what I wanted. I could see that they were, you know, brighter than incandescent, but they didn't do what I wanted. So I went to another set. I said, and, you know, like with this, I'm buying a box of 12 for, like, it was like $12 to $15. It was not a lot of money. So
exactly.
You could play around. The second ones I got, bingo. Now I got this bright white light, and everything is just exactly where I want it. So there is some trial and error with what you like. And they are still, you know, I still have the original old rheostat in the car, the light switch. They do dim them a little bit. It's nowhere near as good as a house system, but... You know, at this point, I just leave them on, and that's it. I don't even worry about it. Just, you know.
Well, it's funny, too, because in the Nomad, with the new console we built, I put two cup holders in the console. And what I did was I actually went to a boat supply, and I got these cup holders that are LED lit. The bottom of the cup holder is actually LED. And when I have them in the console with the regular headlights on it at full brightness, it's like, forget about it. They blast.
Wow.
So I have to really dim them down to get them to be, you know, subdued enough to where they're not obnoxious. Or I can either, if I'm not using the cup holder, I'll just stick like my microfiber cloths in there so that it serves a dual purpose. I can grab the cloth quick to wipe the dash down, or I can leave them in there just to dim the light now at night.
Now, would it be nice if the LEDs were the opposite of what they are? Instead of being cool, if they put out heat, you can keep your coffee warm.
Yeah,
well, that could work too. You could have a switch to go both ways, you know.
Right. But that
the LEDs are so non-heat conductive.
Yeah.
That's a big point of sale for them too. So
yep, you're looking at a silicon wafer is all it is.
Well, you know, it's the same thing. I have LEDs in the house now. I just redid bathroom vanity lights and everything, and I went all with the bright white LEDs. And I had to put dimmer switches on the light fixtures, because now on full brightness, I swear, from two rooms away, it looks like, you know, there's a seance going on. So, I mean, it's like, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I did the same thing at the house.
The lighting is so clean and pure, it just makes everything look so much different. And when you look at a regular bulb now next to that, it's crazy.
No, especially when you look.
And now you can get to see the dirt in the bathroom.
Well, what's worse is you look in the mirror and you say, oh, my God.
Where did all those wrinkles come from?
I did that. I put LEDs in the kitchen years ago and turned them on and said, I said, this is perfect if I want to rebuild the transmission. It was so white, so bright, operating room white. And I said, I love that, but not for the kitchen. So
well,
I went back.
I did that on all my fixtures, too. I did the hallway light, the entryway light. I did the dining room fixture. It's a six-bulb fixture. And I did a three-bulb fixture over the dinette in the kitchen, off the kitchen. And they're all with that bright white LEDs, but I have them all on dimmers now, too. So you can put it to where you want it. You know, you don't have to be blasted out if you don't want to. And in the kitchen, I have LEDs up under the soffits, or plant trays, as they call them here. And I got a big ceiling fan, and it's got an LED light in the middle of that. But that one, believe it or not, is the dual coolness, whatever. It's got the real beige-looking kind of light.
Yeah, it's warmer.
And then it goes to the bright white light if you want it.
Yeah,
so it's adjustable with the remote. So that's
right.
Pretty good.
Excellent. Here we are on the lighting show today. You never know where
right?
we're going to go. I tell you where we're going to go, Skip. We're going to have to shoot because we got to do our bottom of the hour break, and Chris has to tell us about the honor group of the hour. So,
very good. Okay, great talking to you guys.
Thanks for calling. All right.
Always a pleasure, Skip.
All right, that's good. So do we have an honor group of the hour?
Of course we do at the Motormouth Radio Home and Garden Show. Yes, and here is the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. If you are old enough to remember the gas shortage, do you remember waiting on long lines in the 70s, hoping the gas stations wouldn't run out of gas before you filled up? Do you remember hearing the term OPEC and not knowing what the heck that was? Do you remember waking up in the middle of the night to drive to the gas station to get in line and wait for the place to open up? Do you remember the classified ads in the paper from individuals trying to sell their gas-guzzling muscle cars at giveaway prices? I sure do. Well, if you remember any of those things, then you is old and are part
right.
of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
I'll tell you something. You know, this I put gas in all the family cars, and just this week, the station I go to, I've been waiting on, not a line out into the street, but a line in the parking lot. I said, damn, it's like the 70s again. Like, I you know, what am I doing here? This is ridiculous. So,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's a discount place. It's BJ. So I get like 10 cents off a gallon if you have the card. So you do save some money.
Yeah, you're going to be waiting in long lines. If that's the 10-cent difference, you'll be waiting.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But I'll tell you what else is different. It's Sundays at 4. Today, after Kim, and then after, what comes after Kim? I think it's the Billy Joel Show.
Yes.
90s Now. You got to love this, Chris. This is for you. In fact, you got to come and work on this show. I think you got to co-host. Because if you love boy bands.
Oh, I'm a big fan.
Fanny packs.
Oh, big fan.
And AOL chat rooms. Then this is the show for you.
For you.
You.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can listen to
1-800 numbers what was those calls to get your fortune read?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like
the psychic seance, yeah.
Miss Timmy or something.
You can listen in as we take you back to the music from the 90s for a whole hour every Sunday, and you won't need a Sony Discman to hear them this time either, so...
son of a gun.
But now you can listen to our choice of music. I know you're such a wild one. We're going to play the wild one for you. No, we're not talking about Marlon Brando. But we'll take this quick break. We'll be back with more Motormouth Radio after this. Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino on 90.3 WHPC. Hit it.
For a thrill, but reckless as he was, he always drove with skill. Yeah, he always rode alone.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouths.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motor Mouth.
You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
No, hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motor Mouth.
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No,
I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Rude.
As always, you are consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming. I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Oh, this is why I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
So I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motor Mouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motor Mouth.
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and AutoVision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motor Mouth Radio, WHBC, 90.3 FM.
Oh, yeah, that wild one. That's you, Chris.
No, more like Miles nowadays.
Believe it or not, that's a band called the Go-Go's. Not the female band, the Go-Go's, that Rob always plays, but some band from the 60s that's on this obscure CD that I have that I think I might have picked up at Infinity Records again. That's where I got
it. Yeah, it is obscure, and it should stay obscure.
Yeah, well, that's why it fits on this show. You see, that's the whole thing. It's, you know, obscurity at its best.
Yes, 516-572-7440. I was looking at some of the chrome, some pictures of that chrome in a bottle that we were talking about earlier, and I'm not impressed with it.
Okay.
And I need to find something chrome-like, because I think I told you the top portion of my Chrysler front bumper, the chrome is flying off it. And it's yeah. Chrysler quality chrome, which is no quality at all. So I have to, and I got a bumper. I got to swap it out. It's one of those things that's going to be a project. I know, but I thought maybe just to make it look halfway decent. But before I can literally get to the point where I can swap the bumpers out, take the whole front of the car off.
There's really no Band-Aid. I mean, I've seen guys use chrome tape and, you know, like I said, if you just get in there with some silver paint and just kind of, you know, just touch it up, it's, you know, from a glance, it'll be okay. But there's no replacement for the chrome. You know, there really isn't.
I mean, there's stuff that looks okay. But if you're going to spend a lot of money to look okay, yeah, it's not.
Well, I found out, like with my own car, when it came time to look into having my bumpers chromed, it's a lot of money. And I asked everybody I know, well, not everybody, but most of the people I know in the hobby who've restored cars, where would you go for chrome? And I got a lot. I probably got five or six different answers. Some guys were in Texas. There was another place. There's one in Philadelphia. There was other ones that had gone out of business, and you know, and then there's actually a place here in Mineola, and I went there and talked to them, because at the shop we had a job that had to be dropped off. So I said, "Perfect, let me come and I'll talk to you about mine." But we were talking like $3,000, like lots of money for the bumpers. And I was like, "Oh my god, you know, this car's not worth that much. It's like it's gonna be nice, but I pay another $3,000 for bumpers." And I ended up going with replacements, because they do make them for my car.
Right.
I think it was AMD that made them, All Metal Direct. And mm-hmm. the first thing I noticed, the chrome was beautiful. They are gorgeous looking bumpers. But as soon as I took it out of the box, either one, I noticed they were definitely lighter. So, okay, you take off some weight on the car, but maybe you don't have all that protection now. And it was our friend Tori. I went through his account, so I got to use his you know, his credentials, so it saved me the tax mm-hmm. and maybe a little nice. Discount. So it was maybe like $600, you know, a piece right. of bumpers, which was great. You know, it saved me a lot of money, which I was happy. But, you know, you just don't want to be tapping people in the parking lot now.
It's true.
They're not paper mache. They are metal. They're steel, but they're just not the same car. But the problem is with your car, you don't have that availability, because it's not a mainstream vehicle. Nothing on a C-body is mainstream.
It's true. And the funny thing is, I have two front bumpers now in stock, and one of them is dented on the bottom of the bumper. Mind you, it's a loop bumper, obviously.
Yeah.
There's a bumper at the top by the edge of the hood, and it continues, wraps around the front of the car, and then, of course, terminates at the license plate. So it's kind of a rectangle with the center cut out of it.
Right.
And I have a bumper. I have two bumpers. One of them is dented at the bottom. The other one is at the top.
Of course. Where else would it be dented?
So I have to do something I have not done in a very long time, and that is bounce a dent out of a bumper.
Wow.
And I've done it.
Okay.
I've done, in the old days when I was a lot younger, I was able to do it. And I ruined a couple of tools and sockets and all kinds of things trying to get the contour straight on my old Buick bumper.
Sure.
I got some guy tapped me in the back while I was waiting for a traffic light. I got the thunk, and I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And he put like a nice, what would you call it, a bullet hole size dent in the bumper.
Yeah.
And I had to pull the bumper off and literally attack that peak with all kinds of hammers and wood. Oh, it was miserable.
Yeah.
But I was able to do it. It was slow and tedious. And now I'm going to probably have to do it again. I have to find which bumper I can, which would be easier to pop the dent out of, but I'm going to have to do it. Both of them are good used. They're not perfect, but then again, neither is the car. So,
right.
So, and that's, you know me, I don't mind. Okay. If the bumper's got a couple of imperfections in it, I'll still hang it. It's not a big deal. But when it's got a dent in it, I'm like, oh, I got to do something about that.
Yeah. You know, my buddy Kevin Kilowatt, Kevin just sent me a link to a Pontiac. It's a Trans Am. That's, it was one of those 301 turbo jobbies, the white one with the white wheels. And this guy wants
81.
Yeah, he wants like $2,000 for this car, but literally it looks like he dragged it out of a junkyard. The interior has been ravaged. There's no dash. There's no carpet. The seats are laid back. Everything is dirty. It's a mess. It looked like it was in a junkyard. And there's no title, of course. So take it for what. I was like, you know what? He's selling like it's a junkyard car. He says, yo, can be restored. Yeah, it can be restored. So could the Titanic.
You know? Sure.
It's amazing what people, you have to go through it to see. When you get to those last items, the littlest things make the biggest differences in a restoration.
Oh, yeah, and totally. I agree.
People use that blanket statement, which is so, so untrue.
Right. Or make for a great project. A great project for whom?
For the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what project I'm working on, and I'll work on it today because I've been doing it every day a little bit at a time. I salvaged another one of those small 21-inch snowblowers that I like so much.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Actually, this one, my neighbor threw it out years ago. And and I had one just like it. And I said, okay, maybe I was thinking I could use that one for parts for the one I have. And I just kind of parked it in the yard and I left it for I don't know how many years it's been sitting there. But now the one that I was using that was a Hurricane Sandy refugee, it was literally floating in somebody's garage. And I had been using that for years. I said, okay, that one needs some work. It's getting long in the tooth. Let me look at this other one and see what's going on. So I did. I took it apart and so I realized even though they're both Craftsman machines and they're both green and plastic and the same size, that's about where the similarity ends. They both have Briggs engines, but that's it. Well, one's a two-stroke, one's a four-stroke.
Okay.
So there's minimal of pieces I can swap. And I've been trying to do this on the cheap because I don't want to put money into this thing if ultimately it isn't going to work out. You know?
Right. Understood.
So I've been doing little things, and there was a bracket that adjusts the cable for the auger, and it's mounts on the side of the machine. It's got a square hole in it where a bolt, like a carriage bolt, would go through, that square part of the carriage bolt, and locks it, and you can slide that back and forth to adjust the cable. Well, that had snapped right in the middle of the square hole. All right.
Great.
So I took it off, I ground it all down, I neutralized it, and I MIG welded it. I wound both sides very gingerly, and then I had to go in there and file the extra weld off. I mean, this took a couple hours of my life.
Yeah, I was going to say, at maybe, what, $100 an hour? You could have went and bought a bracket.
It's about $8, $7 or $8 for a bracket.
Right.
So,
and I always give myself a metaphorical $100 an hour now.
Yeah,
it's like my hour's worth of my time is $100.
Right.
Well, depends on what I'm doing, but I kind of just throw that number in there. But go ahead, right ahead. I'm
of
sorry.
Of course, I put it back. I put it on the other day and went to adjust it. Boom, it snapped again. I'm like, okay, great. So now I have to decide if I'm going to make one of these brackets out of a piece of scrap metal, which I'm inclined to do. and, you know, or just go, because I figured, I need about $50 or $60 worth of parts to, you know, things that are broken on this machine. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, that's not a bad deal. You could do that. But, you know, I still want to see. I got it running. You know, I got the carburetor squared away and the thing runs.
Oh, good. I was going to ask you that. Is this thing run or not?
I did that. Good. I want to see. I think what I'm going to do is get it running again and see if I can get the auger to work, because that's, they did the stupidest thing, the way they engineered this. On the left side of the auger drive, the auger has a shaft that goes through a bearing. It's the same bearing that's in the front of an alternator. You know, it's like a 2001 bearing. Yeah, it's a sealed roller bearing.
It probably is.
Same size.
From the same manufacturer.
Right. And on the other side, the auger has just a little stub that's machined, and you'd think it would go into a bushing or something. No. The plastic cover on that side has a plastic boss that sticks out, and the auger just sits into this plastic boss.
That's high quality.
And, of course, when I got it, that part was like, he must have ran over like a rock or something, and it just dislodged from that part. So that plastic boss got misshapen. So I went in there with a little X-Acto knife and a file, and I shaped it back again, and I got the auger to go back in. So I think I want to see if that's going to stay first. But these are the things we do when we have nothing else to do, right? We restore old pieces of junk.
Wow, yes. I'm sorry. The funny thing is, I've come to realize my time is so limited now, I have to do those restorations in record time.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a lot. I've been relying heavily on adhesives.
Glue
it together. Put it, clamp it. Done.
I took the other approach and said, hey, you know what? It's not snowing yet. I have time. So I put this, I set it up on my workmate sawhorse thing in the garage. Mm-hmm. And every, you know, like when I get a chance after work, I'll go out there and I'll spend an hour and a half, you know, and I'll just tinker around doing stuff. And then I leave it alone. It's like sometimes if you obsess on it and really lock in on something like that, unless you have like a you know, all the parts to change, You kind of get tired of it, or you hit the wall. So now in little chunks, it's a lot easier to not get, you know.
Oh yeah.
To get upset with it, you know.
Oh yeah. Whenever, and I always quote my father on this. Whenever I would run into a wall working on something, he would always say, "Go to the bathroom."
Yeah.
He'd say, "Go to the bathroom." He'd say, "Just go sit down or stand up or do what you have to do and come back to it." And basically, you give yourself like your brain a 2-minute break. And every time I would come back and sit down and look at that thing that I was hammering my head on and getting all frustrated with, and I'd look at it and go, oh, this is how it goes together. And it would go together no problem every time.
Yeah.
But now my question to you is, you're now going to have two mediocre snowblowers. Is one of them going to end up at the dump?
Or
are you going to keep them both?
No, I think what I will do is, and the only reason, just to clarify why I'm not going out and buying a new one, is these things are like $500-$600 for these little machines.
You know?
And not knowing if I'm going to stay in New York, you know, like, what the hell? I'm not going to make the investment. And we're
taking bets on you here in Connecticut. So.
Okay. And they are saying that this is going to be another light year, another warm winter. Mm-hmm. They said we will have precipitation. It may be wet, but may not be. And they said, you know, we may still get that one snowstorm like we had last year, but we won't have that prolonged snow. So they're calling for not needing a lot of snow removal constantly.
Right.
So maybe I won't get to use it. No, the idea would be, I think I'd hang on to the 2-stroke one for a while just to make sure the other one is viable, and then probably just chuck them both. You know, it's like, out of here.
Because I'm all for the Ray Guarino lighten your load here. It's like, you got to get rid of things.
Yeah.
I'm got to let it go.
Been doing
let
that. It go. Yeah. Been doing that. Yeah.
Okay.
Working on it slowly. I'll tell you what else I'm working on. I was working on guests, and I had a fellow, I was hoping to get him on today, but we didn't touch base. Our good friend, you know, Frank Dominiani, remember Frank, God rest his soul, from High Speed Automotive and Valley Stream. Well, I'm still in touch with his son, Joe. We talk all the time and share emails. And he sent me a email about a week ago, said, hey, how'd you like to have this guy, Herb, on the show? Herb used to race with my dad and Bobby Brown. We had Bobby on the show many years ago.
Right.
Actually, Bobby owned Robert Chevrolet, among other things. So I said, yeah, I reached out to him. And basically his name is Herb Wettinson. Herb is the guy who, him and his brother owned Wettinson's Hamburgers, the hamburger chain. And there were 70 of them in the New York area at the time. Mm-hmm. I think from 59 to 1975 was the last when they closed them up.
Really?
Because, wow. McDonald's, Burger King, all those, the big chains, Wendy's, were really putting a lot of pressure on them. And on a corporate level, it's hard to compete.
It is.
So we had one that was close by. It was in Valley Stream. I used to go to it, in high school. So anyway, I gave him a call, and we didn't touch base. We haven't communicated yet, but I'm working on getting Herb on because he's got the racing history and now the hamburger chain history, which is great. You know, a lot of people don't remember Wettinson's. You'd have to be from the area. I don't know if there were any out by where you were in Brooklyn. I don't know exactly where they were.
Yes, there were. There was one on, if I remember correctly, I think there was one on Utica Avenue.
Oh, okay.
In Brooklyn, like in the Canarsie section of Brooklyn, if I remember.
Okay.
But yeah, there were others. And yeah, but there were more of them outside of Brooklyn.
I think the first one was the one that was up on Old Country Road.
And it was up by you?
Because it became a record store after that. And they left McDonald's has the arches. Wettinson's had those two arches that started at the front of the building and went to the back on the sides of the building.
Yes.
They were like runners, you know. And the record store kept the original outside the building with the arches on it. I think they maybe repainted it from orange and white. They maybe repainted the building. But you look at it and said, yeah, that was a Wettinson's, you know. And that was in business for many, many years. And that finally got sold, went out of business, of course, a record store, you know. And I figured they probably ripped it down and put up condos or something. So yeah, we'll see if we can have Herb on the show and talk about some old racing stories.
That sounds like fun. Yeah. I always enjoy that. We've always had really, really good shows when we'd sit down with the old racers. And there was a time, we're talking about our 20-year stint here at the station with this fine, upstanding, obscure gardening show, where there we had like a whole bunch of old racers. And I think about that now and go, wow, some of those interviews were fantastic. We're just talking about the old days at the time.
Without a doubt.
Hear more of them come in is would be a joy.
Yeah, while these guys are still around, you know, because they, they're older than us, and they were doing this stuff a long time ago. So it's good to have them while they're still. I got a mailer in the mail this week. It was a manila envelope, and all right, hand addressed to me, and there was a barcode sticker over the return address. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know what that is.
And it wasn't ticking, right? You didn't have to soak it in the bathtub.
It felt like a calendar. I'm like, who's sending me a calendar now? It's like, in a calendar in October. That's not what it felt like in size wise. But I opened it up and it was a magazine. I said, oh, what the hell is this? So I'm thinking it was probably some kind of, one of those things where they're just trying to, fleece money out of you. No, it was Nitro Madness was the magazine. I'm like, Nitro Madness. I'm like, now you got my interest, but why am I getting this magazine? And on the bottom of it, there was a square where they would put their mailing label for subscribers, I guess, and it was blank. So I'm like, and I started flipping through the pages. Like at third page, I see it. There was a big article on Billy and Bobby Lynch. And Billy's rail. So I peeled that barcode off the front, and literally, there was Billy's return address up on top. I'm like, oh, cool. They did a real nice, knowing Bill like we do, and we've had him on the show and talked with him many times, another, very prominent racer. We kind of know the ins and outs of that story. This one kind of encapsulated everything in the Reader's Digest version. They mentioned Red Lang, and they mentioned Mike Sforza, and they mentioned Ralph Landalfi, Coney Island Ralph, a lot of the guys that we know or knew.
Sure.
And, Angelo Giannini. Actually, I got my fuel injection. That Hillborn I have was Angelo's. Actually, it was my friend Vince's who lent it to Angelo, and then I got it through Billy. So anyway, it was kind of cool. Again, I took that as a sign, like, oh, maybe the old racer theme is coming back into my purview. So, and then this drops, Herb's name drops, like, okay, let's, like we always say, let's just follow the flow where it takes us.
It's true. There was a time in this program we were just interviewing a string of authors.
Oh, we had the book club,
this was turning into the book club, which was right. which was cool. That right. some of that stuff was great, and we got some great authors and some great friends out of it. And now, we'll, if we can go back into the old racer,
yeah,
getting back into that mode, yeah, that's always welcome.
Remember, we
always.
Had the fellow who wrote the Corvette books. He was in England at the time when he called us. I was like, wow,
yes,
Tom Tabordjensen, I think it was. It was like, remember, it was like TBOR. Uh-huh. It was like a weird one of those Scandinavian names. Yeah, that was
right. And
cool.
It was kind of strange that an individual with an English accent was telling us about the most popular American sports
yeah,
car.
Yeah, exactly, know? Exactly. yeah, so that's all fun. But we'll follow up with that. That's cool.
No, it's always looking forward to it, and of course. You know, it's. I love the fact that you're still working on projects. I'm trying to get back into working on projects again. I'm going full boat once my house projects are done, because that's why I'm laughing. I'm thinking to myself, this is turning into like the Home and Garden Show. Meanwhile, I haven't mentioned much about my house projects, but right, I got right. them.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
And they've been literally dominating my life. So it's right. a lot of times when I'm working on a car, it's get it. Get it done, get it fixed, get it back in.
Yeah.
And right. okay, done. Let's move on. And just like the headlight, the headlight motor is now in. It works.
Good,
fixed. And it took all of, I don't know, maybe less than an hour.
Still waiting to see pictures on social media.
Yeah.
So, you know, before we're getting to the end of the show. So let me finish from where we started off with the people that sure. I met. That talked about it was our good friends Gary and Lorraine, who I ran.
Oh, okay.
And Lorraine's question to me was, she was talking about the gas fill door on cars. Usually, it's on the right or the left. You know,
right? The gas filler door.
Right. Yeah. And her question was, how do the manufacturers determine where to put that door? She goes, do they do like half of the cars on the right and half on the left? I said, you know, no. I don't think it's that involved. I said, you know, the reality of this is most of the gas tanks now are in the center under the car. So it's just a matter, it's got to be on the right or the left. So I told Gary, I said, unless I'm driving my Pontiac where the gas filler is under the license plate and I can pull up on right in the middle, it doesn't matter what side. He goes, oh, that's the best. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I said, you know, I need to talk to someone on a corporate level who makes that decision at GM or Chrysler or Ford where to put the gas door in a car. Who does that? I don't know.
I would say, just off the top of my head, I would say that decision has a lot to do with information more than just convenience. Because if you think about it, it is going to go on the right or on the left. It is going to affect that panel stamping mm-hmm. because sure. you're going to have to stamp a quarter panel.
Right.
So basically that panel, they're not going to stamp two panels with the gas filler door
right.
Bends and the hole in the center. They're not going to do that.
That's
they're going
right.
to stamp just one.
Yeah.
So they're going to pick a side, basically.
Right.
And I would just say that's what they do. They just pick a side. Unless
random, you think?
I mean, yeah,
because there's EVAP stuff that has to be in. There's
right.
EVAP controls and solenoids that are going to be.
And I was going to get there. I was going to
okay.
get there.
You better get there quick. It's like 12:58.
Yeah, because wherever the components will fit is where they're going to put the gas filler door. That's the way I would look at it. I think it's more physical. The physicalities of the components that go into that EVAP system will determine wherever, which side the door, filler door will sit.
Here we go. I was just looking at the rubber ball to throw out the window to wake Kim up to say, hey, your show is on, Kim. What's going on?
Yeah, it was working.
I was looking for the ball to throw out the window,
yeah.
And it's not here.
It's not.
Okay. No, so I didn't want to throw the brick, so I figured, all right.
So anyway,
yeah.
I have won. I have proven.
What's that?
I've proven that the show has gone all the way through, and we did not get the call that you were expecting.
I think you're right, unless that's it right now, because the phone is flashing, but we can't take the call. So, I don't know. Well, if that is you, Lorraine, then you have to call back next week and make Chris amend the talk about it.
I will be glad to eat my words.
Just want me to talk, to talk for a second while you get your stuff, Kim, or what? All right, Kim's a professional. Let's get out of here. Chris, what does Chassis John always say before the show is over?
Don't follow us home, but call us next week here on Motor right. Mouth Radio.
And we'll see you then for Motor Mouth Radio for Chris and Ray. This is for Chris. This is Ray. And we'll see you next week on Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 WHPC. See ya.
See you, bye.
All right.